There you go. There you go.
I think we want to share something too. Starting.
Did you have your hand up back?
Yeah, I had a similar situation. It was like a mole on my arm, and like it scared me because I had never seen it. It just came out of nowhere, and I was like, "Oh Lord, what is this?" And like, I wish I was like this with every situation in my life, but I'm getting there. But like, I was just like, "I curse you at the root in Jesus' name." Because I remember my mom, everybody's like, "Curse it at the root." So I'm like, "I curse you at the root in Jesus' name and heal in Jesus' name." And I was like, "The enemy, you're not gonna put no sickness on me, you know, have nothing in Jesus' name." And I was like, okay. And I just did that. And then I did it for like 2-3 days, maybe a week. And then like next thing I know, it was gone. And I was like, hallelujah, that's what happened. I'm like, that's what you have to do, curse it at the root when you see it.
You relieve from the curse of the law.
Right.
Stephanie's daughter.
Today we're at verse 8, Psalm 119:81, and this word here is calf. You pronounce it with a K if that's at the top here, but here's what calf is. It's an open palm, and it's bent open, and it's a lamb and tame. You know, it was talking about horses, a tame horse, but you know, I got to think about this, an open palm, not two hands, but one. But here we are at the 11th, and within the Hebrew alphabet, there's what, 22, right? So if you say two hands, you'd have 22, but anyway, let's read. It'll explain itself here in a minute. My soul faints for thy salvation.
David.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell him some of them are still counting. Tell them the chapter and verse.
119:81.
Amen.
My soul faints for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word, saying, when will thou comfort me? For I have become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. We're going to come back to this one, but he's got two questions here. How many are the days of thy servant, and when will thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. You know, think about Jesus. How many of those folks that come to him tried to trap him in the law? Remember that? They never could do it, could they? All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. You know, I've prayed that prayer before. I believe that's the greatest prayer you can pray. Help me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's real simple, basic to the point, and he'll do it.
Yep.
They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precept or instruction. They had almost consumed me upon the earth. You know, the Lord said, you know, all that beating and all he took, but you know, the Bible says, though, no man take my life, I lay it down.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, they nearly brought him to death, but he laid his life down. Right here, between 87 and 88, I believe is death, burial, and resurrection. It says, you know, 8 means a new beginning.
Yep.
7 means perfection or completion. But they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. You know, it's the Holy Spirit always in Scripture that quickens, isn't it? You know, and it's the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. What was the testimony here of the Father of the Son? You remember when they was on the mountain, they said, this is my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased. We're going to talk about that some more in a minute. But let's go back to how many are the days of thy servant? You know, if you go back, this being 8 forward, but if you'll go back in Genesis 119. Genesis 119 is when he made the days and the nights, or the nights and the days, in within Genesis there. And I thought, man, that's good. And He says, when wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? And in the book of Revelation, all judgment is given unto the Son. You know, the great white throne judgment, the believer's judgment, judgment seat of Christ, but all judgment is given to him. So we see the leaf from the Genesis to the Revelation.
Yeah.
You know, he created the days, he brings men into judgment. Okay. This was my son. Let's finish this up. You know, the testimony of thy mouth. The father said, son, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You know, our pastor's been teaching on faith there, and I noticed in the 11th chapter of Hebrews there. Find it right there, but it talks about. You want to turn there. 11 and 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, and before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it goes on, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder for them that diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Enoch here. I looked up the word Enoch, and Enoch means dedicated, experienced, and trained.
Wow.
He was pleasing to God. He was dedicated to God.
Yes.
And, but anyway, here in Jude, we'll go to Jude, is the book right before the revelation of Jesus Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us that Jude, or Enoch, prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
And what he prophesied there was about the end days.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start just verse 4, Jude chapter 1, verse 4. And there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to the condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say something here. I think the grace of God is the greatest message out there. It's the end time message. I truly believe that with all my heart. But if you see some folks starting to get off on the wrong end of it, this right here is a good warning for them. It says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved into everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Now let's jump to verse 12. And these are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of the winds. Trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the seas, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, this is Jared's son, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. That's when the Lord returns back to earth again, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speak great swelling words, have immense persons in admiration, because of the text. That's a tongue twister, Dad. But beloved, here's instruction. Here's instruction. Beloved, remember the words which were spoken by the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there shall be walkers of the last time who should walk after ungodly lusts. You know, another word here for mockers is, let me look over here in the Amplified, scoffers.
Yeah.
You know what a scoffer is? I looked up a scoffer. A scoffer is a fool. A fool said things in his heart. There's no God. The scoffer is a fool running his mouth. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what a scoffer is. Howbeit that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be those that separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's some good instruction
there. Yeah.
Praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, was Candace sang that song this morning about, you know, us awaken.
Yeah.
That's a good way for us to awaken ourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost. But I want to share a little quick story with you. Fourth Thursday comes this week. You know, I kind of go around the coal mines and deliver cars, pick up cars and this, that, and the other. But I went in one office or one place I did business with, and this guy I normally talk to, he went in his office. So I went up there and asked for him. They said, well, he's in the office up there with these girls in the office just shooting the breeze. He said, you can go on in there. No, you know, I didn't really want to, you know, go in there. But I walked in there, and there, this guy's about 50 years old. Mm-hmm. And another lady, she's about 40, married, got three kids. Another girl in there about 30 years old. And the door was open, and, you know, other offices all around, so everybody could hear there was conversation. It wasn't like no hidden conversation, you know. So I walked in there, and they was talking about, is adultery okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm, I walked in, and I'm sitting there listening to them. And he said, well, I believe it's okay as long as you don't hide it and cover it up. You know, he said, but I can't stand folks that get out here and do it and try to lie about it. And I'm like, you kind of. So anyway. And these other girls, and this one girl that's married and had three kids, she went to private school her whole life, Christian school. And I know her daddy carried her church regularly, you know. And he was talking to these girls here that they didn't see nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with the doctrine. And I'm thinking, you know, so anyway, they asked me, they said, you think anything's wrong with the doctrine? Yeah, I think something's wrong. Yeah, it's wrong. You know, I was just short preached, but it's wrong. But you see here in these last days that and these was church girls, have got this mentality, I guess from watching TV, all these ungodly shows on TV, you know, everything's, it feels good, do it.
They desensitized.
They have. But going back to Enoch, though, he walked with God. And what we see that his name means, he was devoted to God.
That's right.
Scriptures tells us to what? Walk in the Spirit.
Glory, amen.
We don't fulfill that.
And that's what happened to them ladies. They were Christians, and you remembered them as Christians, but they left. They left their first love. They are no longer in relationship with God. Because when you fall out of fellowship, you're going
to
fall into sin.
You can go to church and
you're going to be lost. And the devil going to have ground. And he already getting ground anyway.
It's your cultural.
I'm reading a book right now, David, by Andrew Womack. It's his new one. It's Who Told You You Were Naked? And it's a whole book on the conscience.
He explains all that.
How the law was always in here and people feared God.
Uh-huh.
you know, years ago. And that fear and that lie, even though they weren't born again, it kept their conscience, because God, when Adam fell, he got a conscience in his soul that helps you know right from wrong. The way we've gone away from the things of God, even though you weren't born again, like sinners would be out there, good old boys, but they knew to fear God.
Yes.
But what's happening, even Christians, they're exposing themselves, and they're searing, and he's got about 8-9 kind of words you can do to your conscience. Even a Christian can.
Yes.
And
yes.
So, because it's in your soul. It's not in your spirit.
That's right.
So, it's fantastic. I mean, amen. The whole book's that way, and I'm reading it again, and I'm seeing stuff I didn't even see, near see the first, and probably the 10th reading, I'll still see stuff. If you cut Andrew Woman, that is a wonderful book. Because I had questioned God about conscience. I didn't really, Kenneth Hagin kind of got me started with it, but I wasn't sure with him. It was not, and then he put this book in my path, so it's really good on the conscience.
Yeah.
Well, just thorough. Lord Fisher, back to Psalms 119. I want us to look at, to see this being centered, being a sinner, you know, we're talking about the palm hand, 11 is 22. But the center of the word, let's go from 32 to 33. Ah, crazy, Mary, let's flip the page. Let's go from 88 to 89. You know, we see here, quote to me, that's the resurrection of the dead. But look at 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He's done. He went crucified, rose from the dead, and went to heaven.
Wow.
And it's right in the center of this psalm.
Yeah,
that's where Jesus Christ is always at. He's
Amen.
Always in the center.
Yes,
ma'am.
My old pastor, Pastor Webbs, and his wife said that Kenneth Hagin would be mumbling something to himself all the time, and they just wondered what he was saying. So he said they kind of got close to him, and this is what he was saying. Oh, Lord, your word is forever settled in heaven. That's what he was mumbling. If you think about that, his word is settled. It's not going to shift. So if you're in him and settled there,
it's eternal.
Exactly. You've got to be settled in him. At God's
point. Yeah. Yeah. Numbers 13 this time. David, that's a blessing. Everything. That's just, all of that was a blessing. You know, what David just shared with us, it shows you the mentality of people. And when darkness is very dangerous, and when people, when they trust it, it always causes problems. And the Lord taught me one time, when you're trying to hide something, you know you're wrong. Anything you got to hide is wrong. Just let it be. And you have to drive out the old things. But the way people, in modern times, people, you have to go back to what God did in the beginning. God chose the light and rejected the darkness. Every throughout the whole word of God, you'll see God choosing the light and rejecting the darkness. If Jesus, you know, we come to Jesus as we are, we believe on him, but we're supposed to go and sin no more. But what's going on now, people try to love God and they don't do anything about the worldly ways. You have to drive it. It's not going to leave. It's just like the Canaanites. They don't want to leave the land. Israel had, I said, Lord, why didn't you just make the Canaanites leave? They had to do it by faith. They had to use their faith and drive them out.
But see, in the wilderness, they didn't have to live by faith.
No.
Really, I mean, what I'm saying, they didn't have, God gave them everything, but see, coming into the land of Canaan, they have to learn how to use their faith.
You got to use your faith.
In that land.
And so it is with life. when even if a person work a job, I've seen people, they'll say, well, I'm going to quit and live by faith. The way you live by faith, if you work a job, is to work as under God.
Yeah, that's
make the whole place forward. Take it forward. You're going forward in Christ. Take the company with you. Be what they need you to be. You know, work as under God. Act like Jesus owned the company, and we're going to make this work. Yeah.
Under him. Okay.
And people say, well, then I don't want to do nothing. I don't like my boss. It's not personal. It doesn't matter who the boss is.
That's good.
If you have that work ethic, God will promote you, and he always will.
That's good.
Even if he have to bless you in your own business or you'll get a better job. If you work as under, if you do it God's way, it's going. That's by faith. But when people complain, that's disaster. That always causes disaster.
Doors open for them.
And the reason people turn, like in the first in the communion class, we studied chapter 14, how they turn. That's always what happens after complaining. God told one of them not to complain. Don't speak the worldly thoughts. You have to drive it out, all of it. What if everybody received everything they ever heard of God's word and of the Holy Spirit? And they turned around and they drove out everything that hinders them from going forward. People would be walking on water by now. Some of us have raised the dead in this room.
Amen.
I didn't, but Mary did. People have done things. If you think about your testimony, since you met Jesus, you had acts, great miracles mm-hmm. in your life. All of us have.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But we have to, as we go forward. If you receive, you only have faith for the word of God you receive. All the word that you receive and act on by faith, it works. And it causes promotion. Mm-hmm. Now, last week I mentioned something. I said when I read in Numbers chapter 13, I go back and look at the first three verses again. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, mm-hmm. which I gave unto the children of Israel of every tribe.
What chapter?
Numbers chapter 13.
Numbers 13:1.
Mm-hmm. And verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were the names of the tribes of Reuben, Shemua. Now he's the first man on the list. And the Lord chose him. He said, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan of every tribe of their fathers. So he was listed first. And then the son of Zakur, the tribe of Simeon. Shaphat, the son of Hori. And of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, and so on. Now, the people he listed first, they're promoted first at that point. And I learned something about the Lord when it came to Saul. I once thought, had the question, Lord, you knew what Lucifer would do, yet you made him. And you knew what Saul ended up doing, and you promoted him to be a king. And he shared something with me that he promotes people based on their acts of faith at that point, not on what they might do or what he know they will
That's
do.
Good. Can you repeat that again?
Yeah. He promotes people based on the faith that they operated in, up to that point. Now, this is still the wisdom of God, is how he taught me. But he don't judge them by what they may do or what even what they will do. But it's the faith that they have operated in up to that point. At any time, a man can let the word of God slip.
Mm-hmm.
At any time, they can change if that's what they want to do. But as long as they go forward, God is with them all the way. So the people that he...
David's a good example.
Yeah.
No, David, King David.
Oh, okay.
He let things slip.
And you can... And people... That promotion doesn't work like people may think. He promotes people based on the things that they've been faithful in doing. They were faithful. They took a faithful position in life. They were there for the people. They tried to help people. They were kind. They did the right things. So the man that's listed first is Shammua, and then he was of the tribe of Reuben, and then Shaphat of the son of he was of the tribe of Simeon. Caleb, we know Caleb. And it goes on. And now where's...
Now just think about it. Caleb was of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
What about that tribe?
Praise.
The line
tribe
of Judah.
Tribe of praise and,
yeah.
and worship. You know, he came back with a different report. Just mm-hmm. that he was from that tribe. You
That's
know?
A good analogy, Sister Mary.
Mm-hmm.
That he was, whence we come.
Huh?
I say it's like from... Whence we come, we're like, I'm thinking in terms of like ministries now today. When you sit under a leader, if the leader is going to set that atmosphere and minister on healing, this other ministry don't, and that they never do it, then it's hard for the other believers to even think, well, what? Mm-hmm. You can lay hands on somebody and get healed? That's unheard of. You know, that's sovereign.
In that world, you know? It's unheard of. Where they go to church, where the people that they're around, in that world, everybody they know, they don't get healed. They've
right,
never
right.
seen it before.
Yeah.
And they can live right down the street from you and never seen nobody get healed, never heard about it.
Yeah, I just thought of that because Sister Mary said that Caleb was from the tribe of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tribe of praise. That was the tribe Jesus was from.
Mm-hmm. Look at it this way.
Tell us it's a matter of life and death where you go to church.
He's right. Now let's look at it this way. Out of all the men of Reuben, Shammua was chosen. Out of all the men of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat was chosen. Out of all the men of Judah, Caleb was chosen. See, God chose these. And he did it right. He always sends the best. He always chooses the best. Now the ten that govern the 100 and the 100 that govern the 1,000 and you know and then they govern the people of Israel. Mm-hmm. Moses chose them because remember Jethro's advice was choose out 10 men. Uh-huh. Well, Moses chose them, which he's wise too. He's a man of God, but God chose these. Okay. And
out of the tribe of Ephraim was Joshua.
Yeah. And he was number 5 on the list. Now, as they, when they came back with the evil report, they did this. Out of all that they've learned, they came back with the evil report.
And mercy.
They had already been through Egypt. They were delivered from it. They saw miracles time and time again. They drank water when they cried out for water and complained. They ate meat when they cried out for meat and complained.
Mm-hmm.
And they had manna every day, miracle after miracle, the cloud by day, the fire by night. And they still came back.
The word said that was God's glory, the fire and the cloud.
Yeah.
It was God.
But they
God
saw.
In them clouds. God was in that fire. God was in them clouds. That was his glory, you
and
know.
They, and they
we
saw
think
it.
About glory, we're talking about the manifested presence of God. Ooh, that was God present in the cloud and in the fire. They had seen all that, like you said, they had mm-hmm. seen all of that.
But they saw giants.
But you know what? They spent 40 days.
Uh-huh.
Nobody hurt them. Nobody touched them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back with this bad report.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had 40 days of just getting those big grapes and nobody touched them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody hurt them.
Chased them.
Huh?
Nobody chased them or tried to kill them.
Nobody did nothing to them. 40 days. They spent 40 days there.
That's deep. Taking that thing deep.
But now,
I say you're taking it deeper.
This and they spent 40 days and no harm.
But they
no
still hurt. Saw giants.
And then they came back still with a bad report. All they did was eat and just, you know, had a good time and watch the giants and, you know.
Now the
anything that goes against the word of God is an evil report, according to that.
That's true.
Anything. Mm-hmm.
That's where the doubtful disposition comes from.
Because
disobedience.
It was true, there were giants.
Yeah.
And they were big and they had lawsuits.
That was a fact.
But that was not God's word. Uh-huh. And when it goes against God's word, God called it an evil report.
Mm-hmm. And God
was
still.
Facts.
People say the truth. Well, if you tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, you tell the truth, you need to tell the truth. But that, mm-hmm. like, the truth, you know, that's just truth. But Pastor Jim always says, mm-hmm. the absolute truth is the word of God.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between a fact
and
the truth. And I've noticed that with gossips, they will tell a fact.
Uh-huh.
But they won't tell the truth. That would be like saying, well, you know, I saw Deborah and John in a hotel together. The truth was we were checking in because there was, you know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Conference.
He was with his wife and they were checking in and I was there and I was checking in.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is that
yes.
we were both there in a hotel.
Yes.
The truth is, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why, you know, Proverbs said a gossip is death.
Yeah, because people can see things,
mm-hmm.
can see you out and, you
but
know,
again,
say
they accepted
say
the fact,
but that wasn't the truth.
No, I mean,
there okay. were giants, but that wasn't the truth.
But the way I'm coming from is a little step higher than that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People say, well, you're sick. You've got something bothering you. You're hurt. You've gone to the doctor. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But according to God,